So today is the anniversary of a year since we've been forced to shut down our services, to go viral in the world in an attempt to keep everybody safe. We had no way of knowing that we would be asked to restructure our lives in this way for so long, breathing through masks, stocking up on Lysol and wipes and bleach. I never understood the tissue, but refraining from hugs and unable to visit people in hospitals or having big gatherings at home or in church for weddings and birthdays or anniversaries, forced to Zoom our life away, teach our kids at home. But what we learned is that we could change life as we knew it, when our lives depended on it and those we loved. We changed family systems, religious systems, and even legal systems restructured itself in the face of this viral threat and crisis. So in the gospel today, Jesus has a visitor in the middle of the night who finds himself in a crisis of faith. And his name is Nicodemus. And they have quite an exchange. We hear part of it here. But the way that it begins is that Nicodemus is a Sanhedrin. He's a member of the Jewish court, and he is one who has tremendous power, legal power, to influence the lives of people as he hears their legal cases and determines the outcome of people in his community. He's a powerful man and a man of faith, and he decides to come and see Jesus in the night. After perhaps seeing the miracles that Jesus performed and listening to his preaching calls for salvation, for repentance, for change, his heart is touched. And he hopes it's enough to speak to Jesus about his beliefs that have just been ruminating in him. So he sees Jesus and he compliments him, telling him that he believes that the presence of God is with Jesus, because there's just no way that Jesus could be doing the things that he's doing in the world without God being part of it. To which Jesus replies, instead of "thank you so much, I was about time somebody recognized." But he didn't do that. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Kind of a strange response. Dr. King, in describing this moment, says that Jesus doesn't get bogged down in the kind of isolated approach that of what Nicodemus should and shouldn't do. Jesus tells him that he must be born again. And King says, in other words, Jesus says, your whole structure must be changed. King saw this passage as a parallel to his call to America to be born again, as it related to the equity, the access, the humanity, and the justice for people of color, calling on America to get rid of the installment plans for equality. And yet we are still, in 2021, still resonating that message, a call to restructure the whole thing, a reimagining of systems, structures to re-enfranchise the poor, people of color, those living on the margins, who only have our systems to look to for help. This past few days, you heard that there has been another killing at the hands of RPD. Well, this time, it was my 29-year-old cousin, Tyshawn Jones. Tyshawn, before his mental illness began in his 20s, was an exceptional, intelligent young man. He was an amazing, gentle, God-fearing, spiritual, humble, mama's boy kind of child. He loved staying home and reading his Bible and helping his mom, hanging out with his father. You know, they never thought that once he began to struggle with mental illness, that it would cost him his life. His parents told me that they tried to get him help many times in our current systems, engaging the system of mental health, only to be told repeatedly that in order for him to be helped, he had to be a danger to himself or others. And as I sat with his mother the last couple of days, she had a barrage of questions for me. What kind of white frameworks are these for delivery of care, she asked. Why does someone have to go to this extreme before they can get help? Why do they have to hurt somebody before they can get help? Why is there an age limit for parents seeking help for an adult child in mental health crisis who cannot advocate for themselves? Why did the system set us up, she said, for failure? And in tears, she leaned over to me and she said, the system failed me, Cousin Myra, and it failed us. It shouldn't be this hard. So what do you do when the laws and the practices don't keep your children safe or provide adequate access to resources to keep them alive? What we both agreed on was that the excessive force used and the pain he suffered in those final moments, with 3 bullets to his chest and 2 in his stomach for mental illness, that he didn't deserve it. He was seen as black and dangerous and not sick and in need of help. Today, his parents are calling on the mental health system and policing systems to be born again. As Jesus tried to help Nicodemus understand this call to new birth, that Nicodemus confuses with re-entering his mother's womb. He's like, can I go back into my mother and be born again? And as he's kind of trying to figure out what is this new birth that Jesus is talking about, Jesus shifts him to a very strange story from their collective faith tradition. He tells him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Humanity be lifted up. Now, Nicodemus would know this story, although he would be confused about how being born again now connects with serpents in the desert and the suggestion that Jesus, too, must be lifted up. But Jesus again takes him to a crisis-driven moment in the life of Israel through that story, a time where the people became discouraged along the way in the wilderness and spoke against God and Moses, questioning why God and his servant Moses would bring them out here in such a desolate land to escape slavery when they would neither have food nor water. Instead of trusting God for what they needed, they lived in their anxiety. They wanted to go back to the old life in captivity and enslavement instead of doing the hard work required for freedom. As they began to regret the work and challenges of moving forward towards freedom and the obstacles that they might encounter, another thing happened. They encountered poisonous snakes, and many of the people were bitten, and they began to die, making things even worse. But because of their theology and their beliefs about if anything bad happened, then this was God punishing them, they attributed it to God and their lack of faith. And they plead with Moses to pray and ask God to remove the serpents from them. But instead, God tells Moses to make a bronze snake, put it up on a pole, and anyone bitten by the serpents could look at the serpent on the pole in faith and live rather than die. Now, I had to stop there because I thought, you know, God has a lot of problems with golden calves, but bronze snakes, they are okay. To look up to the serpent rather than to look down or to look back. You see, sometimes God doesn't remove our struggles, but asks us to have faith to go through them. Jesus explains to Nicodemus that in the same way that they were saved by the bronze serpent, that Jesus too came to save us, that he too would be lifted up, and we were to find unending life in our moments of crisis, our moments of challenge, our moments of anxiety and grief, to redo our lives, to redo our systems and our structures, as we are being asked to transform, to leave behind the old for something new, to not live in fear, but to live, Jesus says, in love. The love that God has for the whole world. Whenever change happens, I notice for myself that the first thing, the first place that I want to go is fear and anxiety. And maybe that's true for you too. I remember when we started over from Corpus, the anxiety and the struggles that we had beginning as a new parish. And many of you may remember this. I remember that there was anxiety over Reverend Mary being our new pastor. And so we had a parish meeting to officially acknowledge her as a leader. The anxiety of years of tradition of a male priest leading us, like Father Jim, was being tested in that moment. The anxiety, but we made it through that, Spiritus. We looked to God. We had faith. And what a beautiful church Reverend Mary created for us. We struggled with the models of leadership during those times and decision making. We didn't know which we would use. Some people wanted a circular model of leadership where everyone was in charge and no one was in charge. And others wanted a spiritual leader with clear lines of accountability and structure. And again, we looked to God, we had faith, we trusted the love that God had for us, and we figured out a beautiful structure that has both spiritual and lay leadership models for decision-making throughout our parish. We figured out how to lead together in love and in faith. And that is exactly what Jesus reminds Nicodemus of in this passage, of how much God's love for this world can help us. So much love that God has for us, that God gave us Jesus, this amazing leader and teacher and friend and Savior, God's boy, God's baby, Jesus, God's son. And that we just needed to believe when we feel like we're going to perish, like our hearts and our lives can't take anymore. In our faith, there's a promise, Jesus says, of everlasting life, a life that goes on forever. And it always will be there for us, a life that is available in our deepest hurts, our most unimaginable pain and struggles, and to know that we are never, ever alone. Jesus makes clear to Nicodemus that he is here not to condemn the world, but to save it. And we're part of that, to rescue us from the darkness, the scripture says, and reminds us that we are part of this light that has come into the world. That light that Jesus gives us, it pleads for us to not prefer darkness. He tells us that this light has come into the world, and boy, has it. This light is here to transform everything that it touches. And you do that each week when you bring the light of God with you. But then Jesus tells Nicodemus, for everyone who does wicked things, hate the light and do not come towards the light. Yeah, how many of you watched Poltergeist when it came out? Oh, just a few of us? All right, we'll have to start a club. But as kids, when me and one of my siblings or someone we knew did something that was mean or cruel or hurtful after watching that movie, we would say, come into the light, Carol Ann, come into the light. And so Jesus invites Nicodemus and us to come into the light, a place where everything is subject to change for the better. Nicodemus's entire legal and spiritual world was getting ready to change, was being challenged. And he did it. He became a follower of Jesus, an advocate for him, a believer. You know, to Black people after the Civil War, Nicodemus' story was a model of rebirth as they sought to cast off old identities as slaves, figuring out what it meant to be free. This scripture passage ends by saying that whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that their works may be clearly seen as done in God. And so it calls the question for us to ask, what truth are we living? Are we living individually? And are we living collectively that needs to come to the light? I can tell you that as a Black woman in the world, my truth is twofold. One truth is that my sons, my cousins, my nephews, my nieces, my uncles aren't safe in the systems that we have now that exist as they are. That white supremacy patterns of policing, mental health care, and service delivery in Black and brown communities isn't giving us what we need. It is exhausting to have to fight on every front to be seen, to be heard, to be trusted, to be treated with humanity, or to be believed for the slightest truth. To always feel like serpents are biting you in the wilderness of inequity, and at any minute, you or your loved one could lose your battle to systemic racism. My other truth is that I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the love that we have for each other. I believe in you. I believe in this city. And I believe that we can restructure ourselves in that love, in that light that Jesus promises in this gospel. So my truth is twofold. And so in these moments, friends, of living our truths and working for change, I think Jesus wants us to remember his words today, that we are not alone. I am not alone. You are not alone. We are not alone. We have love. We have light. We have Jesus. And we have each other. We have a God who says, I so love you that I give you faith to believe. Faith to save our world. Faith to be your authentic selves. This Jesus is the one who drew Nicodemus to him in the middle of the night and trusted him with an amazing message of love and new birth. And it is the same Jesus who is speaking to us today.